never rest.
Better never rest. Neither does Dogs HQ. And that's why we are here with you again. I'm glad you brought the Rizzler back for us. Everybody, look, he may have been a bad luck charm. I don't know. Well, it'll be interesting to track his future visits and see if this happens to anybody else. That would be one of those like Drake things.
I want to formally apologize to the people that were upset about the Rizzler being here. You were right. I was wrong.
Yeah, that poor kid.
You're good looking. I'm not so good looking.
Look, we're not living in the past anymore, though, guys. We're turning the page over to Kentucky. And speaking of Kentucky weekend, you can come hang out with us this weekend at Redstone Marketing Grill, 2531 Brock Road, Athens, Georgia. On your way in, right off 129. Jake Rowe will be out there bright and early. What time are you going to land at Redstone on Saturday?
I think I might sleep out there. I mean, you can do everything else you need to do out there. Might as well get a good room and board. I'll be out there. I'll get out there probably 7:15 to 7:30, get set up and everything. Probably about 7, probably a quarter after 7. And then we'll broadcast live starting at 8 a.m. It's going to be a tight day, tight morning, with the noon kick. Man, we had so much fun out there for the Alabama game. Folks coming through, throughout the show. Palmer, our man, was out there. We appreciate Palmer for coming by, classing the place up a little bit. Not Lil Wayne's World reference there. But we had a good time, and I'm sure they killed it on game day. And so come out there and see us, man. Come out and hang out. We love it. We enjoy it. It's going to be a little quicker turnaround than normal because we got to get to the stadium there. But definitely wanted to get out there at such an hour that fans could come by and of the show, fans, Georgia fans, anybody. And their breakfast is outstanding.
I was going to say, I know that they do badass breakfast.
Yeah.
I
know that grit bowl, man. Go get yourself a grit bowl out there and just pound it on the way to the stadium. Grit bowl and a Mountain Dew Zero. I'm really into that right now, by the way. I don't know if I told you that.
The grit bowl, it seems like a perfect base layer to lay down before a day of Georgia football.
Divine.
Yeah, no question. So get out, hang out with us this weekend. We'll be live early, bright and early on Saturday. And I know that it's been a blast every time you guys have been there. And you can get everything you need for your tailgate, adult beverages, whether it's, non-adult beverages, food, whatever. You can get it at Redstone and they'll have you hooked up. Guys, it's time to move on. The Crimson Tide won last week, and you've got to just go from there. So
we've already let them beat us twice at Dogs HQ because we've talked about it all week. They've already beat us twice. Don't let them. Can't beat Georgia twice. Georgia's got
to be fair. To be fair, though, people like to revel in their misery, and so it. Listen, the Alabama shows have done numbers, man. People know, and I'm not surprised by that. It's bad news does about as well as good news. I think we all know that. But Georgia now has Kentucky coming down the pipe, and this is always, not always, an interesting game, but it has been an interesting game several times throughout the years. And certainly when you go to Lexington, it's often an
absolutely
game. But that's not always the case in Sanford Stadium. And Jake, I don't know that either of us feels like it's going to be a particularly interesting game this weekend because Kentucky's just not very good.
Yeah, Kentucky struggled, man. They have very much struggled this season. If you go and kind of look at the stats from kind of an SEC level, the Cats are near the bottom in just about everything. Like, they don't stop the run very well. They don't stop the pass very well. They kind of hang their hat on being able to run the ball, but they're still only averaging 4.5 yards a carry, and it's not one of the better, rush offenses in the SEC, at least from a volume dependency standpoint. I mean, I think Kentucky is number 9. Yeah, Kentucky's 9th in rushing yards per game, which, in a 16-team league, there are a lot of ways to be worse. South Carolina, LSU, Alabama, Florida, Oklahoma, Auburn, and Texas A&M are all worse than Kentucky when you look at that. But then when you shift that thing to yards per carry, they're number 11 at 4.5 yards a carry. They're running the ball 41 times a game, which is a lot. Believe it or not, Georgia's running it 43 times a game. I think Georgia might be, Georgia's top three in the SEC in terms of attempts per game. So, Georgia's averaging right at 5 yards a carry. Kentucky doesn't, like I said, they don't stop it very well. I was trying to get some pass offense numbers, but I was having a little trouble getting this stuff to pull up. But, Kentucky right there, last three teams in the league in terms of yards per attempt. Only Auburn and Florida are worse.
Doesn't this feel like, Jake, and I kind of hate that it came to this, because there was a world that existed where Mark Stoops could have probably left Kentucky and been revered, but this feels like it's probably nearing its end. I mean, after the Texas A&M thing, that whole debacle, and it falls through, and it feels like this has all kind of come tumbling down on the Wildcats after many good years under Mark Stoops.
I'm going to say this. Fran Brown, you kind, talented soul of a coach you are, this should be your lesson. Get out of Syracuse as fast as you can.
Yeah, sure.
Get out of there as fast as you can, because there's some of these schools, they're just not going to do it, man. They're just not going to do it. Because when you're – see, I have this theory that when you're a Kentucky – or when you're a Syracuse, or when you're a school like that, if you're not at one of the marquee schools, one of the underrated aspects of it, the most underrated aspect of kind of having a Friday off, like a Friday holiday or a Monday holiday, is it's not that the 3-day weekend's great, but the 4-day work week.
Sure.
You know what I mean? that's pretty strong too. You know what I mean? So
I know exactly what you mean.
Yeah. But I think about it the same thing in terms of coaching college football. Like, if you coach at one of the powers, yeah, it's great to coach at one of the powers. It's also great to not have to coach against one of the powers. That you don't, there's another one you don't have to run into when you are one. And that's one of the things that, for the longest time when Georgia, everybody's like, oh, Georgia's got a favorable schedule. Sorry, dude. That's why it pays to be a really good team, because you don't have to play another one of the really good teams in the league because you are that team. Mark Stoops should have gotten out of there a long time ago. I guess he tried to, a little bit with Texas A&M.
And I think that's the thing to me, that's what's kind of sad about this, is it feels like there was a chance where he could have moved on and everything would have been, everybody would have said, man, thank you for everything you did for us. But instead that happened, and then it didn't happen. And then now it's sort of like you tried to cheat on your wife, but you weren't successful. And so you're still married to her,
I don't know how thankful they would have been for Mark Stoops, but he would have definitely, they would have been angry at him for leaving, but they would have respected him. Like, they would have felt good about what he did there. And that's what kind of sucks about the whole thing. It's almost like Mark Richt in Georgia a little bit. Not that Mark Richt would have ever left Georgia for any reason, but you forget the good times. You taking it back to the marriage analogy, you get married 20 years, you get real tired of each other, kids move out of the house, and you start, God, I kind of hate you now. You forget about the good times. Hey, we took down a bottle of wine and did the salsa in the living room. You don't think about that kind of stuff anymore. The laughs and the cries.
What was Mark Stoops' bottle of wine and salsa with?
It had to be a Malbec. It had to be a Malbec.
No, I want to know, what was that moment in your mind? What was that for them?
Probably that run before were they undefeated that time they played, or that all those times that they had a chance to beat Georgia and win the SEC. Yeah,
sure. Sure.
I was looking at it, by the way, when you look at the numbers. God, the our shows are so bad. we're just so awful. I was looking at since Kirby took over at Georgia, really for a long time, when Georgia plays Kentucky at home, it's usually pretty rough. The last time they played Georgia kind of really competitively in Athens was 2011. That was a 19-10 game. They actually beat Georgia at home in 2000. 9, and that was their last win over Georgia. But if you jump up to 2013, it was 59-17.
2009 was the last win over Georgia?
Yeah, 2009 was their last win over Georgia.
That's hard to believe because it feels like some of those games in Lexington like got away from you for a second.
Yeah, I mean, I'll tell you some of what's happened in some of those games in Lexington. But you got 59-17 in 2013. 2015, it was 27-3. I remember Terry Godwin fumbled a shotgun snap in that game, taking a direct snap, and then picked it up and ran for a touchdown. It was unbelievable. 2017, they won 42-13. Georgia beat Kentucky. 2019 was about as competitive as it gets for home games because that one was tied at the half in the rain-soaked game. And, guys, that was one of the wettest football games I've ever witnessed. Georgia wins 21-0 with three rushing touchdowns. Jake Fromm attempted one pass in the second half of that game. 30-13 in 2021. Now, that was about as competitive as anybody was against that Georgia team. But Kentucky, I believe, scored a touchdown late. That one was 30-6, and Kentucky scored a touchdown late to get there. And then Georgia, I think, blocked an extra point. And then 2023, 51-13, an absolute bludgeoning when Kentucky came into town, kind of at this time of the year, early in the year, and Carson Beck carved them up. But if you look at the away game, starting last year, it was 13-12. 2022, it was 16-6. 2020, it was 14-3. Find yourself someone who loves a rock fight in Lexington as much as Kirby Smart does.
Gosh,
because he loves to play those games. And then, obviously, in 2018, Georgia had a lot more success. DeAndre Swift goes wild for 34-17 win. And then, Kirby Smart's first trip to Lexington in his first year, Rodrigo Blankenship hits a game-winning field goal, leaves his helmet on for the post-game interview.
Yeah, I remember it very, very well.
That was my first trip to cover a game. No, I'm lying. 2015 was – or was it? I can't remember. I'm trying to remember. That was my first trip there to cover a game in Lexington. Dude, I had a blast. I love Lexington, Kentucky.
Yeah, great town.
I love Lexington, Kentucky. It's
a cool stadium, too. I like their stadium a lot.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, the press box is cool.
Yeah. It's a nice setup, really. I mean, Kentucky, listen, they're doing it right, man. You flip the script over to, like, Missouri. Like, Missouri's
the best thing about the Missouri trip for me, you always went to Kansas City. I always would go to St. Louis.
Yeah.
I love going to the Lumiere Casino, man. I have a good time in there. You know, get in there, smoke a few cigs.
Hit on 20 because I'm feeling dangerous.
Sorry, sir. Let me step over this oxygen tank to get into my blackjack seat right here. But it's a good time there. It's a good time. But Georgia has handled Kentucky pretty well at home. And they're 20.5 point favorites for our friends over at BetMGM. We love those guys. They're awesome.
Yeah.
Get a lot of emails from those guys. Just keeping us up to date on spreads and what's going on in college football. But 20.5 points, that seems about right to me, considering, I don't know. I feel like Kentucky does some things poorly that Georgia does really well. And then the one thing Kentucky really wants to hang its hat on, running the football, Georgia does a pretty good job stopping it. And that's with, kind of facing a couple of teams thus far that have thrown the ball well on them. It's not like Georgia's committed a bunch of bodies to the box to stop the run. They've had teams throw it on them, on light boxes and not be able to run it on light boxes. So I do like this matchup a lot for Georgia. And they need to get back on the horse. They need some confidence. This is potentially an opportunity for Georgia to kind of jump all over Kentucky and to kind of smother them a little bit and then possibly, get some young guys some run and, get both Juan Gaston and Bo Hewley a lot of reps there at right tackle, get Daniel Calhoun and Michael Looney in there at guard and kind of build yourself out some depth both on the offensive and defensive lines.
Yeah. I got a real feeling that this is probably the last time that Georgia plays Mark Stoops at Kentucky.
Yeah. It's more wine and salsa.
It's over. You go Georgia, then they play host to Texas, then host Tennessee, at Auburn, and then host Florida. They could go. I mean, they may. I'm not saying they'll go winless in conference, but they got a shot at it.
I'd like to see him wield a Bowie knife in one of those, you know, just to just gut somebody's chances, whether it's
go out like that. Go out crazy.
Just, whether it's taking Billy Napier, you know, out with him, or whether it's just, you know, flaying Josh Heupel's Tennessee's guts out right there in front of everybody. Just somebody, just chaos. And I'm not saying that to root against any other team. Texas too, hell. Why not go there?
Oh, but, yeah, that would, wouldn't
know,
that be
just, you know, just destroy somebody's hopes. And listen, they didn't look terrible against Ole Miss. They ran the ball really effectively against Ole Miss. But, you know, after beating them last year, you know, I think Ole Miss had that one kind of circled a little bit. And they, you know, I do think Kentucky's capable of getting – they're not capable of winning enough games to save his job, though.
No, I don't think so either. I don't think so either. Like I said, I think if you look at their – conference schedule, there is a real chance that they could go winless.
Fran Brown, next head coach at Kentucky.
You know, somebody said Dan Mullen was lobbying for it. And to me, that doesn't make any sense. I feel like Dan Mullen's a little more established, personally. I feel like, I don't know.
Well, no, I mean, I don't know. The whole basic admission that you don't like recruiting. I mean, we're in a different era now. So if you
To me, Kentucky's one of those programs, you know, we talk about so often that, or it's mentioned a lot on the boards. We don't talk about it here a lot, but that pot of money that you've got to pull from for NIL. And Kentucky, to me, has got to be one of those schools that's saying, look, we're going to put our chips in on the basketball team.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, you look at the breakdowns, and I don't know what it is. I think it was something like 80-15-5 or something, 75-50, right. Something like that.
There's no way that's their split.
Yeah, Kentucky's probably thinking, and that's the way they want it. Dude, I remember the first Georgia-Kentucky game I ever went to. I think it was 1997, because I remember Robert Edwards had an 80-yard touchdown against them. And I remember, like, Georgia kind of beat them, and the Kentucky fans were leaving, like, late in the third quarter, and Georgia fans were, like, shaking their keys at them. And they just turn around, and one guy goes, come to Lexington. Come on to Lexington. Anybody in Athens cared.
Yeah.
You know, in Athens cared about basketball at the time. It was just, yeah. It was pretty funny. So, yeah, they certainly the hoops is king there in Kentucky. I mean, they've got basically an LA Live, you know, down in downtown. You know, for Wildcat Live or Lexington Live or whatever they call it. You know, it's Rupp, I don't know, whatever it is. It's a huge deal down there at Rupp Arena.
Yeah,
and that's awesome. You know, like, I mean, that's college basketball is cool, but I mean, college football is way more important.
Sure. Oh, Lord. Look, hey, you can go this weekend if you're trying to, and you can do it through our friends at GameTime.co. You can get in. What's the get in price this week, Jake? $79. Not bad, man. $79.
No, not bad at all. I think there are even some cheaper tickets than that. I thought I saw some at $68.
Yeah, I've seen some 302 for 85. That's not bad. I mean,
come on, man. Sit right here at the 40, you know, at the 40, 45 yard line behind the Georgia bench, a beautiful seat right here for $161 a piece.
Yeah.
That's a pretty good deal.
Absolutely.
But you also don't have any rolling in here through below face really either. So, you know, it's not like it's a good little kind of medium here for the game.
I would say so, yeah. You know, this is one of those that, you know, this is a good one because you get to experience Athens, you get to go to the game, knock that out, and then spend the rest of the day enjoying Athens. So
yeah, go get some gas from Redstone and a sandwich on the way home, and hit the road.
There you go. So GameTime.co, the place to go. Look, you get a view from your seat. That's what's cool to me about what GameTime does. An opportunity to see where you'll be watching the game from. All your fees rolled in, so the price is the out-the-door price, and they get things to you super quick. So it's all verified tickets. You don't have to, as I said, make that trek to the ticket checker with the guy who's trying to sell you the ticket in case you have to buy your ticket back on the bridge. Now, get to GameTime.co. You can use code ON3, O-N-3, and that's $20 off your first purchase. Some terms and conditions do apply, but get over and use ON3 for the discount over there. And like I said, man, it's a cool app, and if you're looking for some good tickets, that's a way to go.
No doubt about it. Georgia's offense, Jake. What do you want to see? What do you need to see from this offense this Saturday against Kentucky? Because we know what the conversation is going to be post-game. If Georgia doesn't show out, it's going to be problematic. And I can't say that I blame anybody. But then if Georgia, like, lights it up, nobody's going to really care. So this is kind of a lose a lot or lose a little situation. Lose-lose to varying degrees. But, you know, we can be nuanced. We can kind of talk about the specifics here. What do you need to see?
Two things for me, I think, in this game that I would like to see. I would like to see the offensive line continue to have continuity. I would like to see that group continue to trend upward, or, you know, play like they did against Alabama. I thought
No steps back.
Exactly. Yes, absolutely. Yes, that would be wonderful to see. And with Ernest Green looking doubtful for this one, I think that, you know, you get a chance to maybe have some continuity, carry over a similar group from last year. We're expecting Micah Morris back, yes?
Yeah, as far as I know, you know, comes back into that game. I do know, you know, I will say this, and this will, you know, this is just a little tidbit. We'll have a lot more in MD in the notebook tomorrow. But I do know that Daniel Calhoun has kind of come on a little bit, and he, you know, I know he got some reps with the ones this week at left guard as Michael Morris kind of took some reps. You know, they kind of limited reps there to get him some rest. But I know Daniel Calhoun's made a little bit of a move there, so I maybe, you know, could be a situation where you go Michael Morris a couple series, and if things are going well, give Daniel Calhoun a series and kind of get some development going.
The other thing that I want to see is for the passing game to start clicking a little bit more consistently. You saw some of that, I think, against Tennessee, right? You had Georgia at various times this season has done all of the things that it probably needs to do to win, but it has yet to do that completely and in one setting very often. And I think that the passing game can go a long way to that this weekend. You know, I think getting some of the guys that have been a little quieter involved, you know, maybe you see a Noah Thomas in this one. Maybe you see the tight ends get a few balls their way. You'd like to see I personally would love to see them draw something up for Talon Taylor and give him a chance to kind of redeem himself after last week as well. So
will he change numbers is the question.
Yeah, right.
Now, here's one thing I want to say, and everybody knows that I'm an Arian Smith stan, okay? Everybody knows that I love me some Arian Smith. I know he dropped them. I know he dropped them as well as anybody's ever dropped them at Georgia. I get that. Arian Smith did not drop very many big passes. Any of those fourth quarter clutch deals, he dropped them. But, I mean, you know, Ohio State, big catches against Tennessee, you know, so a couple of huge ones last year, one against Florida, one against Texas. Like, big moments like that, you know, Arian Smith caught him. He dropped a lot of other ones, though. I totally understand that. But he didn't drop a whole lot of big ones. But I know a lot of people are like – we had a lot of people on Dog Talk Live with Rusty Mansell last night just being like, hey, burn number 11 for offense. It's cursed. You know, maybe only quarterbacks wear number 11 from now on, you know, that kind of stuff. And hey, it's fair. I feel bad for that kid though, because like you said, you know, like you there, why was Noah Thomas not in? Where was Noah Thomas? Well, not standing, you know, 5 yards behind the, 5 yards behind the Alabama defense. You know, and the thing about it is I didn't realize this about Talon Taylor. Obviously you think about a guy that can run and can run routes and is a talented kid. He's a 5-star for a reason. But I tell you, Kirby talking about him as a gunner
on the team,
that to me spells that those GPS numbers have been fire. They have been absolutely blistering, because you got to be able to run to do that at Georgia. Arian Smith did it. Dom Lovett did it. Some of the Jason Stanley did it. Some of the fastest dudes to put on a Georgia uniform did that. And I guess I didn't really think about Talon Taylor as a true blue speedster. I kind of 4.4 guy, plenty fast enough, but not a burner. But he shows some hits to get that defense.
No, I agree with you. I think that people tend to think of him a little bit more as a technician, you know. He can burn them, man. He can absolutely get up. What do you want to see this weekend?
I want to see Chauncey Bowen stay hot. I want to see Chauncey Bowen stay hot, because I do think. I think he got hot in that Alabama game. I'm very disappointed in the fact that he didn't get. a carry in the fourth quarter. He caught two passes, but he didn't get a carry. You know, I thought Mike Bobo dialed some stuff up, all right, against Alabama. And I thought overall, I would say he did a good job. But no rushing attempts for Chauncey Bowens in the fourth quarter is not cool. It's not going to get it done. I mean, I think he did have one, and they had a hold or something like that. You know, I think he broke off like a 5-yard run, and they had a hold. But the way, you know, Georgia had I think 5 runs of 20 yards or more against Alabama. You know, I'd like to see that take. Also, get Nate Frazier back in. Get Nate Frazier back involved simply because, like, let's not be a cornerback here. Let's not be a hummingbird. Let's think a little further than just this past week. Nate Frazier was the guy at Tennessee. He had a very good game at Tennessee. He ran really well, was one of the heroes of that game, was a game ball guy for Dogs HQ. I like that 1-2 punch. Like, I think that is a very formidable 1-2 punch. You throw Josh McCray and Peanut Phillips in there, and you've got something going there. You've got a real kind of four-headed monster. Everybody brings something different to the table. We keep rolling different packages at you type stuff. Even getting some of those guys into the game at the same time where you get Phillips in kind of a jet sweep type deal and eye candy for the defense. And then, you know, you're running your zone stuff, you're running your pin and pull stuff. So I would like to see Nate. And listen, we put a story up on it yesterday at Dogs HQ. You know, Kirby's been very impressed with Nate Frazier's response to everything. He was kind of crushed for himself that he let the team down with that fumble. But at the same time was all in for Chauncey Bowens. And, you know, everything you hear about Nate Frazier, very gregarious kid, very competitive kid. I hope he bounces back from that and that they can kind of get some confidence back for him and get a couple of games under him without some fumbles, you know, here in these next couple of games and kind of him prove to himself that he can take care of that football.
You know, also too, Jake, one thing that I would like to see, Bill Shanks and I were talking about it earlier this week, a little bit more gunner design run. I feel like they've gotten away from that, and I don't know why.
Yeah, I mean, we say that. I mean, he had that 21-yarder against Alabama, and then he had the third down play that I was able to kind of enhance that today. You know, there was a tweet that had basically the guy looking down the line, Jeremy Johnson, sent it to us. I put it in Premiere Pro and just blew it up and got really close, and it looked like Gunner was short of the first down, but literally by a foot to a half yard. You know, like, you know, it was very, very close. Instead of it being a, you know, fourth and a long yard, it should have been fourth and, you know, a foot and a half, foot. Sure. Maybe. So, you know, that's something that maybe the officials could have saved Georgia and Kirby from themselves by whistling that down and changing that spot a little bit. But I would I don't know about it in a game like this, Jake, because I do think Georgia can handle business without doing that, without risking Gunner, without getting him.
I just want to see him get back to it. That's the thing. Like, I do think that has a lot of value and was valuable very early on for them. And I think that it's something that I hope that they continue to utilize throughout the season, because I do feel like a little bit they got away from it against Alabama.
Yeah, some of those design pulls where the tight ends kind of pull around with him and it's designed for him to pull it and you know, do something with it. I could certainly see that. Defensively, I'm going to go first. Confidence in the pass rush. I don't think Georgia is an incapable pass rush team. It hasn't been good thus far. I think it's been a mix of teams getting the ball out quick and Georgia not being able to take away the first read. Because, listen, man, when you look at the second half, and I studied, like, pretty closely the second half of that Alabama game, and you even look to the middle portion of that Tennessee game when Georgia had the clamps on Tennessee and came back from that 14-point deficit. It's crazy to think Georgia's been down 14 points in the first quarter in both of its SEC games, but here we are. Georgia was able to get pressure and affect the quarterback. It didn't finish some sacks when it got the opportunity, but it was able to get pressure and affect the quarterback when it's able to take away the first read for the quarterback. You know, like, I don't care who you're playing. If the quarterback goes back there and his back foot hits the ground and is the first place he wants to go with the football is there, you're going to have a really tough time getting to him. I mean, the ball's going to be out before you get there, even if you can affect him a little bit. But take away that first read and get some confidence going in the pass rush. Let these guys taste a little blood, you know, like, you know, let them, give them a little, you know, sniff of it. And I think that would go a long way towards building some confidence for every single rusher up front. I'm also excited to kind of see, can Jordan Hall build off of the game he played against Alabama? Because I thought he was very good, and he's a very talented kid, and he finally looks healthy. Can he build off of that game? Because I think that's another important factor, and I think 44 has the talent to help Georgia be a force in the trenches.
You didn't exactly steal mine, but conceptually sort of.
Don't accuse me of stuff, man.
Which is that I want to see if DeMelo Jones can build off of the game that he had against Alabama.
That has nothing to do with what I said.
That's why I said it conceptually. He's a guy that I really want to see. Can he continue to play well for Georgia? Because if he can in that cornerback spot, that second cornerback spot, I think that he can be the guy, man, moving forward. And that extends beyond just this year, right? I mean, that would be huge for how next year shapes up. You'd love to see Ellis Robinson come back from, you know, a bad penalty. But
yeah, that was really the only blemish for him in that second half, because if you took a notion to and wanted to go back and just watch number one in the second half of that ball game, I have no doubt in my mind you'll be like, all right, this kid can play against a very good Alabama receiving core. This kid can play. He's a very good player. He's had a rough couple of weeks in terms of penalties and you know, a busted assignment. You know, Jeremy Bernard caught him flat-footed and caught a touchdown on him. Like, I totally get the negative plays and all of that stuff. Man, he played some excellent football in the second half of that Alabama game.
Sure. I think DeMelo, though, you know, kind of from start to finish was pretty good.
Yeah. I mean, and it very much surprised. I mean, where's Daniel Harris? What's going on there? You know, like Kirby is all but saying, like, you know, he's regressed a little bit. Like, he's kind of back and forth. And, you know, I hate to say it, but all signs point to there being a very inconsistent competitor and football player there. And that's something that's a little bit disappointing after he looked as good as he did in the spring game against, you know, Colby Young and some good receivers.
Does it not feel like, though, to you, because it does to me, that this is similar to the Julian Humphrey situation last year? It's like, it's just like, you know, okay, we're getting ready to turn the page here.
Yeah, I mean, it totally, as of right now, based on the fact that, you know, Kirby said he had a little bit of a groin, but the fact that he just like goes from kind of starter, de facto kind of starter, whether he's actually starting the game or not, he's playing a ton, to not playing in a game, like, you know,
in a game like Alabama.
Just reading the tea leaves, all right, it just feels like a transfer.
I agree.
I just can't. I mean, that's where we're at now. I guess we shouldn't dance around it. It kind of feels like a transfer. Can't salsa around it. Can't wine and salsa our way around that one. We gotta tell it like it is. No sugarcoating it, as Rusty said. And week two of our new partner, Brunt Workwear.
Hey, speaking of, you said sugarcoating. Ain't nothing sweet about Brunt Workwear. All right. These things are built tough, man. They're built to last.
Look at they smell.
I do too. Listen, and
by the way, we don't have to give these back. These are ours.
I told Jake before we got out, these things, they're very comfortable right out of the box, man. I was super impressed with that. They've got it in there too, where you can adjust kind of the snugness of the boot. You can remove the sole, pull it out. So look, they're waterproof. They are oil resistant, slip resistant, non-marking on the bottom. They're built tough as hell, man. And they are a quality product. If you're on a job site or if you're just trying to look good out on the street, man.
As our good friend Noah Sims would say, quality.
I can't speak to a lot of job sites. I don't know. So that's not me. But what I will say is they look nice with a pair of jeans, too. And I feel good wearing them in the rain. So
I am really excited to throw these on with a pair of high socks and shorts and just get after some yard work.
Just dad it up. I love it.
Dad it up. I will tie it.
Listen, guys. Brunt was tired of workwear brands out there cutting corners. You work too hard to be stuck in uncomfortable boots that don't hold up. So they built something better. Boots that are insanely comfortable and built for any job site. For a limited time, our listeners get $10 off at Brunt when you use code DOGSHQ, D-A-W-G-S-H-Q, at checkout. Just head to bruntworkwear.com, use code DOGSHQ, and you're good to go. And after the order, they'll ask you where you heard about Brunt. Tell them it was us. Do us a favor, that we would appreciate that. But
absolutely,
really good stuff, man. Have been very, very impressed with Brunt. Jake, one of the lingering things I think that is on the mind of many people, because it can be a factor in a game like this, the noon kickoff. Can Georgia get up for this, especially coming off of a late kick against an opponent like Alabama, and then you suffered disappointment, and then you've got to come back and damn it, you're playing a noon against a 20 and a half dog to you. Can Georgia overcome that mentally?
Jacob, Lester, Roos, yeah, I think that is the loss is why you can. I think you're itching to get back out there. If you've got to play a noon game, I think one of the silver linings of losing is being able to get up for a noon game. And there is no excuse for Georgia to come out sluggish, uninspired, whatever in this game. Not one single bit. And honestly, like I've planted my flag, man. All shortcomings, execution-wise, I don't care if you fumble, whatever it is, coaching, all right? Coaches get paid tremendous, and I know the players get paid now, but the coaches get paid to be accountable for that stuff. They get paid to be accountable for putting up points and stopping points from being put on the board, right? So I'm all that. But in this particular instance, if you can't get up after playing a loss, Kirby talked about how his team was hurting. All right, he talked about that and told us, you know, that he likes to see that. And I do too. You know, my dad always had this thing. He coached me through, you know, Little League, Pony League, you know, 13, 14, all the way up until high school. And he never had a problem with us crying when we lost. Like, he never had a problem with us getting emotional about a loss because it meant something to us. And he wanted it to mean something to us. And I think Kirby's right there. Like, if you're emotional after this, if you're hurting after losing, that means it means something to you. And that's a good thing. You're intentional. You want it. All right, show that to me by getting off to a fast start and coming out and playing your tail off against Kentucky at noon at home. I mean, there's homecoming. There's a lot of buzz in the air. I get all of that. But you've got to come out and kind of want to get that bad taste out of your mouth. You show me how much you hate losing. And you should be able to take that out on whoever you play the next week. I mean, Kentucky's struggling. They're not very good. They're statistically, you know, bottom of the SEC in a lot of important categories. I don't care who you're playing. Noon game, you got to be ready. You got to get up and play. And, you know, I go back to one of the best noon game performances I've ever seen was as far as being in a home game, because I think sometimes it favors their road crowd. One of the best noon game performances I've ever seen was Georgia against Arkansas in 2021. I mean, just came out and, I mean, hit them with a closed fist, like right upside the head, and just blacked them out immediately. Do it. You know, come out, you know, as Chit would say, do it, lady. You know, make it happen.
Yeah, I'm with it, man. I don't even really have a ton to add to that point, Jake. I agree. I agree with you completely. It's you have to respond. And if Georgia gets into a rock fight with Kentucky, you got some serious concerns the rest of the way this season. I'm telling you. I'm not gonna sit here and sugarcoat that. Just like I told you that Alabama was gonna win. I predicted it. But
that's like volunteering the information that you're pulling for Gonzaga and Georgia and the SEC. And
I picked it. But listen, I think that you have serious concerns if Georgia can't get ready for this game. If you can't come back and respond the way that you want to, if you still look discombobulated, if you still don't look like you know what you're doing, you got issues, brother. And it ain't going to get better because I'll tell you this, Kentucky is one of the less probably one of the least talented teams that Georgia will play all the rest of the way.
Yeah, I agree. And but I will say this, like, as much as I would love to say we'll know as much about Georgia as we need to know based on how they play this Saturday, especially if they don't come out and play, like, I don't know anymore, man. And I honestly never have. Like, I mean, Rusty's had a good point when we've been talking the last couple of days. You look at the 2007 Georgia team, you know, they score like 12 points and lose to South Carolina. They get their butts kicked by Tennessee. And then they come out and they look like crap against Vanderbilt, get a bye week, and then they just go on a historic run. So I don't know. I understand where people are coming from, and I understand that a lot of it is like venting, you know, just being frustrated. And you know, some folks, you kind of get in this like mode of everything sucks because, and it just kind of, it's kind of scratches an itch to say, well, it's down the toilet. It's a wasted season. Everything's over, you know, and it's a little self-preservation goes on there. But even then, I don't know that, but I will say it's unacceptable. Like, I mean, it's certainly not what you want to see. Come out and show me how bad it hurt and how much you want it to not hurt anymore. Go get in the win column. Go get there emphatically. Auburn's going to sit at home and watch it and then try to kick your tail the next week. So, you know, take care of business this week. Go downtown, celebrate that win, get an early start on Sunday, and start getting ready for Auburn.
Yeah, I'm with you 100%. No question about it. Guys, when you rep your team, don't just stop at the jersey. Dollar Shave Club's collegiate razor handles combine grooming with glory, letting students, grads, and fans show their school spirit and style. From the sink to the stadium, you can shave with pride. Visit Dollar Shave Club today to grab your college football handle and go Dogs from Dollar Shave Club.
Number one reason to subscribe to Dollar Shave Club: put yourself together better than Jake Roos and myself. Look like a person. Groom yourself a little better than we do.
A person of respect and means and care and anything. I mean, we have nothing to offer.
And good repute.
We have nothing to offer, and Dollar Shave Club has everything to offer you.
We're also
to not look like us. So get over to DollarShaveClub.com today and get yourself that Georgia handle on the razor, man. Look, they got Georgia on everything. You might as well have it on your razor handle too. There's no question about that. All right. It is a pretty good weekend for college football, Jake.
Give me a game and I'll tell you the exact score right now.
Lock of the century of the week.
Stone cold lock of the century of the week.
So, yeah, let's see here.
Texas at Florida.
Texas What's the at line Florida, 6.5 points. That is a wild line, in my opinion. That is crazy.
Yeah, that's nuts, dude.
What's going on there? What's going on with that? They know something.
I don't know. You know, if you would have told me, if you would have said, hey, Jake, set this line just, you know, off the top of your head, I'm adding 10 points to that easy.
Billy Napier is just going to – yeah, absolutely. Billy Napier is just going to let some Rottweilers run loose that's in the second quarter. Let me tell you
something. If they upset
Maul Arch Manning.
If they upset Texas, I'm going to rename him to Billy Napalm.
Yeah, sure.
Billy Napalm, baby.
Vanderbilt at Alabama, 10.5 in that one. A very interesting game.
Everybody's making a thing about that, but I will say this. Like, Waycross's very own Thomas Castellanos, like, said what he was going to do, was given a chance to back out of it, doubled down, and I think he tripled down, then did it.
Yeah.
Diego Pavia had a little bit of a a little smack talk tour of his own this summer. And you know, kind of delivered on that too, you know, going into South Carolina and doing that. Like, you know,
Diego Pavia is awesome.
He's a different cat, man. He is a different cat. And you know, there's some Stetson Bennett to him a little bit. I think Stetson's a better player. But there's a little Stetson Bennett to him. The thing I kind of look to there, so many seniors and graduates and old dudes on that team, you know, like a bunch of Mormons, dude, like a bunch of guys that have been on a mission, you know, already. It's just 25.
They're starting college at 22. Yeah. And yeah,
25 and 26 year olds all over the place. Sure. And you know, listen, I root for Vanderbilt. I always will, as long as Barton Simmons is there, because I've had some good times with Barton. And
I will root for them just because they're Vanderbilt. For God's sakes, I love to see Vanderbilt get a turn, man.
Hey, listen, they're kind of smart people over there, but they're kind of nasty too. Like, they can get a little – I don't know if you've walked the Vanderbilt campus on the way to a Georgia game. They'll have some pretty angry sheet banners on the side of their fraternity houses.
They're not kind people. A lot of dads who own dealerships at Vanderbilt.
You and know based right? on the based on the individual I've worked with most recently from the city of Nashville, I don't wish good things on Nashville. He's not a good guy.
Unscrupulous.
The unscrupulous Palmer Toms. We know he's listening. We appreciate you, buddy. We love you. I like Vanderbilt to cover, but I don't think they win that game. Let me ask you this.
If Vanderbilt wins that game, let's say if. How far can Vanderbilt go?
I don't know. I was thinking you were going to say something about Georgia's program, like burn it down.
Maybe. No.
Just get Josh Brooks to shut the whole thing down.
Then you got Miami at Florida State, 4.5 in that one.
That one, Florida State favored or Miami favored?
Miami favored.
Miami favored by 4.5 on the road. That one's tough because, you know, obviously Florida State comes off a long week and a loss. By the way, I was glued to that Florida State Virginia game, unlike any game that I've been glued to in college football in a long time.
Did that one for you? Let me ask you this, because I talked about it on the radio. It was my not back the other night in the radio show. I said rushing the field is not back.
Part about it was they came down like with 6 minutes left to go in the fourth quarter, and then they just staged there for like an hour.
Yeah, sure.
They were on this grassy knoll for like an hour and a half, just waiting on the upset.
Seemed dangerous, though. That was a dangerous one.
I ran into Colton Heinrich's dad, who, by the way, wonderful dude. You know, former coach, basketball coach and everything, and you know, had such great things to say about University of Georgia, Todd Hartley, you know, how much Colton loves it, all that stuff. But I spent some time with him. We were walking by the television as we were kind of going outside for Rusty and I to speak at to do that thing at Hotel Indigo. That was a lot of fun. And I looked at the thing and I was like, man, Friday night, got Miami next week. You know, you're playing on a kind of day that you don't normally play on, and you're on the road. This is an upset special. And they did get upset. So they lose, but Miami was off completely. You know, so, you know, where do you go from there? I mean, you know, Florida State's got to hold up to Miami's offensive line. They like to try to play bully ball a little bit. A lot of it's going to depend on Carson Beck and how on he is. And I'll say this about, you know, Carson, outside of the Tennessee game in 2023, I've never really seen him be on in these big road games. So, you know, I think it would be a huge feather in his cap if he could check off that box while at Miami. I kind of like Florida State in that one. I kind of like Florida State in that one, just coming off that loss and you know,
not Gus, crazy. Gus, yeah, I don't think that's crazy. For once,
somebody doesn't think I'm crazy.
No, it's a good slate this weekend.
Yeah, it is. I mean, we're going to have a lot of good ones here for the rest of the season. You know, we're in the midst of conference play, and this is when the upsets really started to kind of roll. You know, last year, you know, Ole Miss, I think, has Washington State. Not too concerned with that one. I was trying to think of some other big games, and you know, it's kind of hard to get. It's really kind of hard to get a look at kind of the big games in a conglomerate like that. But yeah, I'm interested to see kind of how it all plays out as far as this weekend goes, because there's not that like top 10 matchup, that top five matchup, you know, that you're really looking for. But you look at those lines, I mean, 6.5
Texas. Yeah, that's crazy. I really didn't know that until the moment I looked down and I was like, what is happening? That is a wild, wild line.
What do we have in Big Ten land this week?
Not much, on the bone there. Illinois, Purdue, Wisconsin, Michigan.
Yeah, Penn State, UCLA.
Yeah.
I was hoping that the Big Ten would provide us with a little bit of something. I tell you what upset alert though in the ACC is Virginia. After that big win, they got to play Louisville. Louisville's not like incompetent by any stretch. That one's one to look out for. I think Notre Dame will blast.
Hey, are you surprised? This just popped into my mind while I was looking at this, and it's been kind of one of the things for me. Are you surprised Luke Fickell's not been better at Wisconsin?
Yeah.
100%. Yeah, me too.
Yeah. Yeah, I am too. I'll tell you the one I've got my own next week, though, and it's at home, I believe, for LSU, but South Carolina is at LSU, you know, having, you know, South Carolina dropped a couple of games already, and they're in trouble. And then, obviously, you've got Alabama at Missouri. I think there's a good chance Alabama loses one of these next two. I really do. And then, obviously, another big one next week, too. You got Ohio State at Illinois. I'm excited about that one as well.
God, those people, Jake, if that happens, those Alabama fans, for however great they felt about beating Georgia, they're going to be ripping their hair out if they're losing to Vanderbilt with some sense of regularity.
And if I know Georgia fans the way I think I know Georgia fans, they will be too.
Transitive properties.
Yeah. 100%. And hey, I don't blame you, man. Listen, I do want to say this to Georgia fans. You know, I'm a big fan of The Wire, and I watch it a lot. I'm actually rewatching it again right now for probably like the 10th time. And there's this thing in season 4 when Bubbles, everybody's favorite junkie, is just getting his butt kicked by this other homeless dude on the street, just kind of bullying him. And at some point, he just kind of gets tired. He makes a bad decision. Go watch the show for yourself. But there's something about being punched in the face by the same person over and over and over again and not being able to do a whole lot to stop it. Of you constantly making the wrong decision and the not making the three to five big plays in a game that can help you win it, that is just super frustrating. So I get totally where Georgia fans are coming with that. I've tried to be like really understanding that. I've seen some wild takes this week, some absolutely wild takes, all the way to the point that Kirby Smart just doesn't care anymore. Well, I tell you what. If you're walking by the Georgia practice field at any point this week, that did not sound like a man that didn't care to me. But I get it. I get the frustration. You should be frustrated. And I do think Georgia will get it back on track this week against Kentucky. And I think Georgia will get better as the season goes on. They did it last year. I wrote that column at the end of the year. I don't think the chances of that happening two years in a row are very likely. That more often than not, literally 9 times out of 10, I expect Kirby Smart teams to get better as the year goes along. And listen, for all the faults you have for Mike Bobo and Stacey Searles, right, and their coaching careers, I get it. Like, I mean, I don't know. If Georgia would have let them go at the end of last season, it wouldn't have bothered me one lick. I would have enjoyed covering coaching searches, all right? And I will be gladly cover another one at the end of this year. I think – the both of them have had probably between them 4 or 5 good games in the last 18. All right. So, and that's not good at all. So, you know, if you want to fire them, that's cool. I don't do that, but you can. But even their units tend to get better as the year goes on. You know, you look at Mike Bobo's years at Georgia and kind of his record in November as far as putting up points and things of that nature. Like, they've done a really good job of kind of improving as the year goes on. I expect this team to get better. I think you should too. But if you don't, I ain't going to fight you over it. It is what it is, and we'll just watch it play out because that's all we can do.
Jake Rose putting the word out there. They're back up. listen, this has been the Georgia Show. We will be back with you Saturday morning from Redstone Market, live and early for that one. So make sure you tuned in for that one. Get a cup of coffee in you. Get past or get down to Redstone and hang out with Jake.
I'll have some smelling salts for you if it's too early for you. I'll get you some smelling salts.
And then, of course, we'll have you covered on all things. Rusty Mansell dropped the visitor list 1.0 today. Shaping up to be another good one for the Dogs. So really a lot to get to as this season continues. Guys, we're only, third of the way through. So there's a lot more to go. A lot of action still to be had. And we will have you covered on all of it over at Dogs HQ. Thanks for tuning in.